The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths of the Lord.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'After me, one who is more powerful than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated, and I would invite the children to come forward to help proclaim the good news of Advent coming. You guys are good news. What I just read was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was Mark's beginning of the story. I'm sure glad that you guys this day have been practicing to tell us about the Christmas story, because you know what? We don't find it in the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark jumps straight to the story of Jesus and his ministry. I wonder this morning, with all the people here and with you, why do you think Mark skips the Christmas story? No birth, no shepherds, no wise men? What do you think? Yeah. Doesn't what? Because he's not, yeah, maybe he said, Christmas, too many presents and stuff. We're going to do something else. Yeah. We've heard it so many times, let's just skip on to the ministry and get right to it, right? Yeah, Ella? He probably knew Matthew and Luke were coming along and would tell the story, right? Somebody else could explain it. Yeah, Avery.
Somebody else could explain it better.
Or what?
Writer's block.
He had writer's block. Yeah. That might have been it. Or maybe Mark was just a guy in a big hurry who wanted to get right to the ministry of Jesus and the story of salvation and of John Baptist and Jesus baptizing us into the forgiveness of sins and sending us as people of God to follow Jesus like the disciples on the journey of faith to bring good news. So this Advent season, John invites us, Jesus invites us, God, our Creator, invites us to follow Jesus, to be on the journey with him, to be people of God, to tell the story from the beginning, as it in our heart, that Jesus has come for all of us, to make us disciples, to bring us forgiveness, and to bring us the promise of life. And we'll wait till next week to hear the story of the birth and the shepherds. Thank you all for doing that. Thank you all for coming up today. Let's gather around for a prayer. Yeah, slip on in. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come into our hearts. Guide us as your people to be your disciples, to bring the good news and the promise of forgiveness and life to all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Whoa! That I hadn't planned on. That's not going to work. There's an old adage about preaching. If you get a wise idea right before the sermon, don't do it. That was actually a pinch funnier than I had intended. Can we focus? I wanted to start the sermon with a couple of lines from a poem by T.S. Eliot. The poem is entitled East Coker. He wrote it in 1940 during war years when there were lots of troubles around, lots of anxiety. And he himself had been experiencing a lot of writer's block, and he was had kind of in his own life come to an ending, and probably he was fearful of seeing these catastrophic endings that were being presaged in the world with World War II. The first and the last lines go like this. In my beginning is my end. In my end is my beginning. Again, these lines remind me of Mark's approach to the gospel story. You may remember 3 years ago, I'm sure you do, 3 years ago, at Easter, we were struck by the abrupt ending of Mark's gospel. Just as at the beginning, we're noticing, wow, yeah, there are no shepherds, there are no wise men, there's no Mary going, traveling to Bethlehem. At the end, no resurrection appearances of Jesus. The disciples are nowhere to be found. As you recall, the women hear the words, but they say nothing, and they leave in fear and anxiety, saying nothing to anyone. But we took heart, because we said that the abrupt and fearful ending of the gospel story threw us back to the beginning. In our end is our beginning. Last week, we read the lesson from St. Mark in chapter 13, his little apocalypse. Jesus comments about the ending. That lesson itself ended very abruptly with the imperative that we all watch as we wait. That lesson from Jesus also throws us back to the beginning of the story. Watch, attend, pray, read again, follow again. Because Jesus himself resists, in fact, insists, if you remember from the lesson, that he doesn't know when the end will come. When is not the point. In fact, the end isn't even the end, says Jesus, echoed by T.S. Eliot. In my end is my beginning. So I suppose it was appropriate that we begin the new church year with an ending that properly sends us back to the beginning of the story, which is how we start, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As the children helped us note, the gospel story starts as precipitously as abruptly as the gospel ends. So, as the children will encourage us, please come back next Sunday if you want to hear the story about Bethlehem, about the shepherds and the wise men. But you won't find it in Mark's gospel. Still, the suddenness of the beginning, isn't it like the suddenness of birth itself? We are called again. We are born again, thrown back into life. We're all thrown back into the story of Jesus' life, the story of birth, of faith, the story of following Jesus. Each year, Advent preparation and devotion, we read Mark's gospel with the trust that first John and then the one greater than John, the Son of God, is calling us to follow, to be disciples, to be children of God, to journey with Jesus in his ministry of life to all whom he encounters along the way, indeed to bring life to all people through his ending, and to trust and believe that Jesus is simultaneously journeying with us, with you, in your life, to present with you, calling you, empowering you to bring life in his name to all whom you encounter, indeed, to bring the vision and promise of life to all people. A couple of nights ago at our Advent party, we called the journey of Jesus a journey of hope, a journey of revealing, inspiring, and sharing the goodness of God, the mercy and love of God. And isn't hope what we need at this moment? When so much seems to be ending in disaster, or the end seems to be rapidly approaching, environmentally, angrily between nations, wars and rumors of wars, where Christianity itself seems to be ending, hijacked by those who think the end times will return to the nostalgia of past years when old white men ruled, when the election of an alleged pedophile will point to a new theocratic age, where misguided Christians hijacked Jewish prophecies to further their political ends. Lord, throw us back to the beginning of the gospel, to read again, to follow again, to be born again, where Jesus will come with a new rule, a new realm, announced by John, the Baptist who comes in such strange garb. John the Baptist appears in Mark's gospel immediately, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so we ourselves are called this moment to remember our baptism, a new beginning this Advent season. And within a few verses, we know, just a couple verses, John will be arrested, and we learn later killed by Herod. Jesus' beginning follows this ending, this death of John. John's words announce the one who is coming, the Advent, the beginning, but whose death makes Jesus' beginning in ministry. And when John's death, with John's death, Jesus can see his own ending. The power of the story of John the Baptist is that he was faithful to announcing and giving witness to Jesus. So for John, his ending was also a beginning, the story of life that does not end. And so it is with us as well, the promise, the coming. We gather this day, this season, in hope and anticipation to begin the story, to begin the journey with Jesus the Christ. We begin knowing and in confidence in two things about the story: that we ourselves encounter endings from which there seem to be no escape, no hope. Endings which are beyond our control, maybe health, our environment, our wars. And endings which we have caused by fear, our anger, our self-centeredness, by trying ourselves to be in control of things. Endings that estrange us from one another. Endings that estrange us from God. But Advent is the beginning of Jesus' journey to the cross. And I think that's why Mark was in a hurry. He wanted to get there. The cross was meant to be the revelation of no escape, no mercy, no new birth, no hope, the end. But each step of the journey, he dies with us and for us, with our failings, our endings. Until reaching the cross, he ends, he dies once for all, for you, for me, to forgive, to be present with us in life, to call us once more to life. In Christ's ending is our beginning.